Hello, everybody, and welcome to Kill Your Yo-Yo, Episode 5, brought to you by Illinx. My name is Ross Levine, and today I'm very happy to say we have a special, special guest. This is Anthony Rojas, my all-time favorite yo-yoer. If you don't know Anthony's work, you should go look him up right now, because he has some of the greatest freestyles ever to appear on a competition stage. I just hold him in the highest regard of yo-yoers. He's an artist and a dancer in my head. So anyway, I spend a lot of this episode gushing over him, so get used to it. Today we talk about a lot of different theory, though. We talk about different kinds of tricks, kind of categorizations of tricks. We talk about how he uses music to get inspiration and to influence his performances, and we also talk about how he creates his freestyles and sort of the process that he goes through. One other interesting thing is how he recommends using elements and elements of tricks and altering those elements to create variations on tricks and to be able to create an infinite number of tricks. So that gets brought up, and we talk about so, so much more. So I'm really excited for you to hear this. But before we start, I just want to shout out something, which is that, or rather plug something, which is please, please, please share this podcast. This is a project that I care about a lot. This is something that I'm really putting a lot of time into right now, because I think it's really important that yo-yo philosophy and yo-yo theory and yo-yo improvisation and all these thoughts get out into the community. And the only way that that can happen is if you, who is listening to this right now, share it with someone who you think will find value in it, which, in my opinion, is pretty much anyone who plays with a yo-yo, because it's not all about competition, even though currently in the world it seems that way. It's not. There's so much more about yo-yoing, and if you think more deeply about yo-yoing, I have found it makes you appreciate yo-yoing more and gets you deeper into yo-yoing and lets you become a better yo-yoer and feel better about your yo-yoing. So hearing these thoughts is really important, and the only way that it can get out into the community and that these thoughts of people like Anthony Rojas can get out is if you share this podcast with your friends. So first of all, I thank you so, so, so much for listening, and I implore you to share it with your friends. So thank you for everything that you've done. Be sure to rate the podcast, and with all of those plugs out of the way, I can't wait for you to hear what Anthony Rojas has to say. See you later.
Hi, Anthony.
Hey, what's up?
How's it going?
Doing good. I was almost worried that I was gonna have to reschedule, because 2 days ago I got the my booster, right? And then yesterday I was feeling awful, and thankfully this morning I'm feeling okay. So yeah, we're all good. But sorry if I'm not like 100% energy. But
that's, yeah, that's
all good. Hang out for a bit.
I'm glad that you're that you're you know, alive enough to have signed in, and yeah. You know, better to be down from the booster than down from the actual virus. So
yeah, exactly.
But yeah, awesome. So for anybody who doesn't know Anthony, first of all, get your head out of the sand, and second of all, you are my favorite yo-yoer, and you have been for like years and years. Like, you can ask Julian, you know, because you used to see him too. Like, yeah. You back then, I was like, oh my God, Anthony's the best. And then recently, I think you commented on one of my videos or shared it or something. And he sent me a picture of that. And he was like, so is your life complete now? And I was like, yeah, maybe.
Like, you've been doing like so many like really cool variations of like just more open and like movement based stuff recently that, like, yeah. I don't know. Some of my older tricks were like, but then you've been expanding on a lot of those ideas, which are really, really cool. So yeah, I don't know. I've just been really impressed with what you've been doing recently. So yeah.
Thank you so much. But also to that point, like, that would not have existed had you not built that foundation of me to see that and go, oh my God, you can do like actual flow arts with a yo-yo. And I'm not sure if that's what you were going for at the beginning, but like that was what clicked that for me, was seeing you do that. So that's literally, you were the inspiration for all of that style that looks like that.
Thanks.
So any connection, I like give credit so much to you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do get inspiration from like other skill toys, and, uh-huh. and but I don't know. I guess I was inspired from other yo-yoers. I mean, like John Ando and, you know, Yuki, and, you know, just seeing other people do like arm and like body stuff like early on, and then just kind of expanding on that. But yeah, I think recently I've seen a lot of people do, you know, referencing other skill toys, and there's groups, like I'm in part of a couple of message groups on Instagram right now, where there's people from Kendama and like juggling and yo-yoing, and we're all like talking to each other. So I think it's kind of interesting to see a lot of crossover recently. Yeah.
That cross-pollination has definitely been growing. Like it's so interesting to have seen how Kendama just like started a while back and then started to like morph into yo-yoing. And then like there's just like jugglers who are yo-yoers who started doing a little bit of juggling. And I know you came from Astrojax into yo-yoing, and slowly that web is like combining until we have, I don't know, one of my friends calls it the meta hobby, which is the hobby of acquiring new hobbies. So like, I think that all of us have these skills, and cross-pollinate and can only serve to make them all better. So.
Yeah. The everything's a skill toy mindset.
Yeah.
Picking up something and having to like spin it or juggle it somehow.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, there's people who do like full on poi routines with, I saw one with two high heels. Like they were just spinning them around. It looked really cool. So I wanted to jump in with, just to start, what your backstory was. I know you've covered this, but yeah, just how you started, how you got into it, what your first inspirations were.
Yeah, kind of like you mentioned with Astrojax. Well, I mean, I guess even before that, I had a yo-yo or two as a kid in elementary school, just because it was like a popular toy at the time. But I don't really consider that the true start, just because I only knew a few tricks and I didn't know about the yo-yoing world back then. But then a little later, I saw the Astrojax commercial. I picked some of those up and, like, I don't know, just learned a bunch of tricks. And there was a forum for that back then as well. And then I think through the forum, I saw some more advanced yo-yos on a few different websites. And I saw people like Brian Kosky and Jeff Koons, I think. And I think Josh Yee might have been around back then as well. But yeah, like there was a couple like just connections to the yo-yo world, and then like I found just, I don't know, more advanced yo-yos that for sale online, and like some other videos and whatnot, and competition videos. So I kind of just slowly started to see or like discover more of the yo-yoing world. And I guess 2005 is kind of when I consider the like my true start to modern yo-yoing. I think that year I got an off-string yo-yo jam Aquarius, I think. Uh-huh. And I think I bought a Dark Magic from the Kite Shop in Redondo as well. So yeah, so it's kind of been like downhill from there. And yeah, the Kite Shop definitely was like a really important part of learning and just being more like part of the community, I guess. Yeah.
100%. I definitely agree with you there. And we'll, I have that written down to talk about a little bit more in a bit. So that's great. So then you got your first yo-yos, the Dark Magic, started learning. What were kind of your inspirations of, like, after you learn the bind, after you learn to throw correctly, and you start going, all right, I want to like get good at this. Who were you inspired by? What videos maybe, or competitions or freestyles or yo-yoers themselves, led you into the path that you're at now?
I think learning the basics wasn't too hard, especially with like yoing with other people too, like Yoshi and everyone at the Kite Shop, and just, and even, you know, like Grant and everyone else kind of got their start at the kite shop. But I think since it was about 2005 that I started, I had found it was like Andre's site, mastermagic.net, before I was Yo-Yo Expert.
Okay.
I remember there was a lot of tutorials there, and then there was also videos from Worlds and Nationals 2005 that I would watch a lot. I have no idea how many times I watched those, but I remember having to download those, save those, and like I just watched many times Japan Nationals videos too from around that time. But yeah, I don't know, just like whatever was whoever those like popular players were at the time, I would just watch them over and over, and then I slowly started to learn like you know, like telling the difference between like what was good or what was difficult and not. Cause at first everything's just like so crazy, right? You can't really tell the difference between what's like what scores better or whatever. Like that's not even like as a beginner, you're not even really thinking about that. It's just kind of amazing to watch.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, I think I slowly started to learn more. And then 2006 was when I did my first competition, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. And how did you do originally? Were you
it wasn't a regional or state contest. It was the SoCal Yo-Yo contest. It was in the Palm Desert, if you ever.
Oh yeah, I didn't go to that one.
Yeah, yeah, and I think I did this like a advanced novice senior sports ladder. I don't know, it was like some kind of sports ladder thing, and I won that. And then they didn't like separate the being able to compete in freestyle or not still, so I was able to freestyle I probably like got near last, but it was still fun to compete in that at the time.
And so, sports ladder, for people who don't know, that is, because I've never actually gone to a competition that had one, that's a list of tricks and you just do all of them, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that was, like even before, a lot of preliminaries, I think that was your way to get into finals, for a contest. So like nationals or worlds, you would have to go through like the, like, I think the, some kind of sports ladder thing or, yeah. So they did that for a while.
I'm glad that competitions have evolved past that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was good at the time. It made sense because maybe there was only, you're maybe a little bit more limited with what you can do. And then it kind of gave like a base level, you know, like skill set for everyone to learn.
Yeah.
I don't know, because like when you start now, there's so many yo-yos and they're all like expensive and advanced looking and you don't know where to start. And then you got to like learn, like kids are learning to bind like immediately, you know, they're not starting on unresponsive yo-yos and learning the basics. So I don't know, like when I see new kids yo-yoing, I definitely recommend that, you know, even if they have a more advanced yo-yo, that they get, you know, a simpler one too and learn a lot of basics. I think it really helps with your like control and your style later on. But
definitely, if you have a yo-yo that does all the work for you, then you're not going to necessarily be the best at it. I've been playing with a freehand. I picked one up, and it's, at first I was like, this kind of sucks. And then I kept rolling with it. I'm like, okay, I see why people like this. And now I've been carrying it around with me like a lot. And it's just so fun to have to think more when I'm doing stuff. And eventually that'll smooth out my style, make me better because it's harder. I think Chris Chun and I were talking about that in the last episode. He was talking about how he likes to do off-string over carpet so that he has to really chase it and get it. And it makes it so that when he's over concrete, it's really easy. He can always hit it because he's used to it being way harder.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's kind of why I kind of stopped doing off-string as much. It was just too much picking it up off the ground.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, 100%. But just that concept of do the harder things so that you become better at the easier things.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to sound like an old head, like, oh, like you got to use, you know, the
oh yeah no
old yo-yos, but like, I mean, there's kids that are they do just fine with like just starting with a unresponsive yo-yo too. But you know, it's kind of fun to just mix it up. Like sometimes if you use like a fixed axle yo-yo or like, you know, just something that just has more limitations, it can open up different ideas for you, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Limitations are kind of necessary to get anywhere for creativity.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the Sunshine Kite Company, which is the fabled kite shop in Redondo Beach that doesn't exist anymore. So I'll start just with my experience of it, which was my friend Mitchell Ruskin. I went to Hebrew school with him. He's like a family friend. And he started yo-yoing at some like Jewish sleepaway camp. And that was the first time that I started doing some yo-yoing and just like seeing him, and like he was doing it for real. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll try to learn this. And then I bought, oh God, it was some old, you've probably used the yo-yo that was my first yo-yo. It was some one drop, and it was very small, and it had dice stacks on the side. It was, I think, traded around everyone at the kite shop at the time. Anyway, he was hanging out at the kite shop, and he sold me that for like $50. And so then I started going to that kite shop, which a guy named Yoshi Mikimoto, he had this class that he would teach every Saturday. And it would go from like, I don't know, I think like 3 o'clock until it was supposed to be four.
Whenever.
But it went till the kite shop closed.
Yeah.
So I would spend, me and my friend Julian start going there every week, and we would spend all this time there. And there were just some people there. We thought it was just some people. It was like you and Grant Johnson and like Patrick Borgerding and like... oh God, I can't think of other people.
Alex
Tatori.
Yeah, like so many people. Yeah.
Just like some of the, Brian Figueroa, I think, would come by sometimes.
Yeah. Definitely a lot of visitors like throughout the years for sure. Yeah.
Just like huge, huge, incredible yo-yoers would be there. Ty Goldman also. So all of these really great yo-yoers were there, and we kind of had no idea. We were just like, oh, it's the yo-yo club. So that's my experience of it. So could you tell me from your perspective what the kite shop was, how you got into it?
Yeah, I think it was, sorry. I think that it was actually my grandmother that found it somehow. Like she just searched like where they get yo-yos, locally. And I lived like about an hour or like a little over an hour away. So it was kind of a drive, but then after I discovered the kite shop and like started going there and going to the meets every Saturday, yeah, it was just kind of just had to make that drive for a while. Like yeah. Now, like it's so long so far, but yeah, like for a really long time, I just had to do that hour plus drive, yeah, I don't know. It's I think it's really. I mean, you don't have to yo-yo with other people to be good, but I do think that there might be some kind of trend that you might see where there's certain pockets of, like, groups of yo-yoers or, like, clubs or meetups where you can definitely find a lot of, like, prevalent yo-yoers who've, like, learned with each other. So I think that really helped out. But, yeah, kind of it's sad that it's not around anymore, but I kind of want to go back and just visit the pier just to you know, to be nostalgic, I guess.
Oh, 100%. No, I'd be down to get a group together. Maybe we could do set up one of the DXL meets down there and just change it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think that even though the kite shop itself isn't there, because I know it was there and then it also changed. Like, it became a different... They did a renovation on it, and it felt like a totally different place. Made it a little easier to yo-yo. But now there's... But, like, the group was still there. And so now the kite shop itself is gone, but the group has now all moved kind of to DXL, that it's still you, me, Yoshi, and all of the rest of the people who used to go, just all hanging out. So the kite shop... physically might not be there, but I think in spirit.
Yeah. Also, it was kind of notable that they had a contest there as well.
Yes.
Again, not like a state or a regional, but just a small local contest that gave yo-yoers a different platform to compete, you know? So, although sometimes it was kind of windy or like the stage was kind of like...
This is a competition next to the ocean. Like, like probably 200 feet from the ocean.
Yeah, so it was interesting, but it was good practice, and there were some interesting freestyles here and there as well. But
we got a comment asking if we have a new meetup spot, and we meet in Cha at Cha 2O in Artesia for a club called DXL, and you can look up DXL Worldwide, DXL Crew Worldwide on Facebook to join in on that. So if you're in SoCal, please come by. We would love to have more yo-yoers there. And I think there's a point of being around other yo-yoers is like so, so important. I know that it's so easy nowadays for people to go online and just like watch tutorials and think that that's all yo-yoing is sitting in a room watching and learning tricks. But being around other people, I know for me, like getting to see you and Grant and Yoshi all jam on some concept. I remember one day you were playing with like, you were calling it Microtech or something. And it was this just tiny, like I knew a little bit about a chopsticks mount, but you and Grant were like doing full on intricate like tech tricks just in this little chopsticks thing. And I was like 14 or something, and it was blowing my mind. So just being able to see that and watch it, a trick evolve and not just see people like, oh, this is how you do this trick, but instead like playing around and brainstorming with a concept changed totally how I see yo-yoing. Do you have any like points on that or times that you were around other people and that changed how you saw stuff?
Yeah, definitely. And actually just that I think I mentioned like the Microtech stuff to Grant when I saw him. Yeah, not too long ago. And it's kind of just like an inside joke now just to do like little tiny like tiny tricks, right? But I think he was trying to do rancid milk like just in one hand. I don't think he did it, but it was really crazy. Like I think he almost did. I think a lot of times I might not come up with an original concept, but then I'll riff off of somebody else's idea, and then like kind of just goes back and forth. And I think that's one of the benefits to being around other people, or you know, I mean, even if you're just doing that online and just trading ideas that way, I think it's super important. I don't know, I guess lately I haven't especially just because like the world situation, you know, like we haven't got to hang out as much. Although recently there has been more DXL meets, which is cool. But I don't know. I guess like there's only certain players where I like really get inspired nowadays. Mm-hmm. I think right now I'm just mostly interested in just doing cool things and then just having it come naturally. But definitely yo-yoing with other people and riffing off of their ideas is one way of, you know, coming up with new things, I guess.
100%. Who would you say are your inspirations these days?
It's hard to say. I mean, like, I don't know. I just one, just a friend, you know, like I'm not really focusing on like one particular person, and just, I don't know. People I see online that like I've never seen, you know, compete or I've never met, then it's just like a crazy trick like on Instagram, and I don't know, it's even just those things is it's kind of cool. But just all the usual people still inspire me, I guess. you know what I mean, John Ando, Yuki, Zach, you know, all the normal people, but like I feel like everyone is just I just consider them like friends, and we just, you know, everyone has different styles and perspectives. So I'm not really like grinding to try to make up a lot of new things right now. I'm just kind of enjoying yo-yoing and just trying to stay in touch with people. So
mm-hmm. And one thing, just when I watch some of your videos, it seems like at points you have definitely grinded to create new things. So what does that process look like when you are in there, in that state of mind?
Yeah, there's definitely been times when, I felt like I was definitely more in the, that like competition mindset, or like, okay, trying to make up like this many new tricks for a video or whatever, right? So, I don't know, maybe I was just more inspired at, in those years, I guess. But also there's, you know, maybe I would separate tricks into, you know, sometimes it's just a nice trick that has a beginning, middle, end, and it just exists on its own. Other times it's maybe a more competition-oriented trick. So I might be thinking about points and, you know, how it connects to other things so I can, you know, compete with that trick. And then there might be other tricks that are just simple and they just look nice or feel good in some way. So I might have different mindsets about you know, how I'm approaching making up a trick. So yeah, it might depend on the situation or like what I'm trying to achieve with it. But yeah, there's definitely been times when I've, you know, really had to like practice for, you know, a week or two or like maybe months and I'm trying to make up or, and finish a trick. Right. So
yeah. So do you usually tackle like one of those, or not necessarily tackle, but find yourself creating one of those categories at a time of like, oh, I made this cool trick, now I'll make this many variations of it? Or like, do you find that kind of like a spigot opens up when you make one of those, or is it just all, you know, a mix?
Yeah, I guess it usually kind of just, it kind of just happens, to be honest. And like a lot of things just happen by mistake. Like I'll be listening to music and then I'll do something and then, you know, I'll just make up some like riff on a trick based on a movement I just did. And then later it'll just be, you know, at first it was like a joke or just like an interesting movement. And then I'll later develop that into a full trick, you know? Yeah. So yeah, it kind of just, it depends. There's a lot of different situations. You know, I am more critical when I have been more critical when I'm doing competition stuff, but I try not to get too caught up with that competition oriented mindset and for too long. I don't know. It's like it's not as fun if you get stuck in that mindset for me personally.
Yeah. And I've seen just in your previous interviews, you kind of tend to say like some along the lines of I'm like weird in my competitiveness that like I want to win, but I also want to make a good performance. And so like that's, I totally can see that and how that mindset would develop out of our current competition style. That you can't show off your tricks or get the views on the video or like get a big audience or progress to finals and be able to show off your freestyle that you made unless you're able to follow the rules in the prelims. Or place high enough for people to even pay attention to your freestyle. So how does that balancing act of the current competition system, how has that maybe influenced you, or what are kind of your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a good point. Sorry. I feel like it's always kind of been that way. Like even, I don't know, like earlier 2000s or mid 2000s, like there's always been that idea of like the separation between a contest player and like an offstage like innovator, I guess, or you know, just doing interesting tricks in general versus competition based tricks. But I think definitely more recently, it's because competition is a lot more like efficient now in the way that people approach their tricks. There's judging's a little bit more like concrete. It's a little harder to just do like an experimental freestyle. So like sometimes I'll be like, oh, like maybe for scales or something. I think even for the last scales not the last scales contest, but the one that I competed in, which is maybe like a few competitions ago. I was like, oh, like I'll just do something that's like, you know, for fun or whatever. And then eventually I was like, nah, like I gotta like, I'm going to put, like, a little bit more work in there and, like, try to, like, you know, still do something that's a little point-based, but kind of more open and movement-based at the same time. So, yeah, it's definitely a balance that you have to try to achieve, or at least for me. But I don't know. I guess you can, like, if you know how to prelim and know how to make it into finals, then you can kind of do anything if you want. So I guess it doesn't really matter. So,
and also that scales freestyle that you did, like, is one of my favorites to watch of yours, just because I think the fact that you could do as many takes as you needed meant that we got to see you land all of those tricks really well, and just got to see the nicest take of how they all flowed together, which you do incredible tricks. They're also really, really risky. And the fact that you are able to land as much as you do in live competition is amazing. And the fact that they look so good is amazing. I can talk all day about your freestyles. Coffin actually just commented something about your freestyles, asking what your favorite visually appealing trick is.
Let me think about that. Sorry, I can hold on. Let me stand up. I don't know if you can
see. If you angle the camera down a little bit.
Yeah, let me.
It's gonna break everything. Anyone listening to the podcast, follow Illinx_toys to watch the replay to see this trick.
Like visually appealing stuff. I think maybe around that time that you're mentioning, Coffin, like the like all this stuff, and I know that like Ross has been doing a lot of those tricks too, which like this isn't even my trick technically. I think Sid was doing something where it was like on the inside, and then I saw Yoshi like doing this as like a joke. And then later I incorporated it into my freestyle as like a freestyle trick. So, I don't know. I guess that was an example of kind of the earlier question, just like seeing somebody else do a trick and then it's not even like a big deal, but then you can kind of morph it into something that is stylistically, you know, interesting in a competition context too. Mm-hmm. And I think later Jason Lee was doing like the reverse version. And then, yeah, there's so many different versions of that where it's just like movement based, but then you just do it for a second and then like make it go into, you know, I don't know, like a tech trick or something. I think I like to try to find like just like little bits of like something that's like visually appealing, and then it'll go into something that's, you know, dense or serious, and then you open up again and then you go back into something else, right? So
100%. Just to shout out my favorite in recent history is from that scales. It's the first trick you do. I don't remember what it looks like exactly, but it was something with your leg or something like that, that it just kind of came around and you like created this little circle that just disappeared. And it was like, I mean, I'm sure it scores no points, but it's so pretty.
Yeah. And then I saw that someone was asking what yo-yo I'm using. It's the Dune, of course, CFYW Dune. the leg thing, what was it? Sorry, I don't know if you can see. Was it?
Yes.
Was it the Sarvanters, like, kind of?
It was something like that.
I don't know. Or, I don't know, there's, like, another one that I do.
I think it was that one.
That?
I think it was that it just, like, it's like a leg slack trick. Like, what even? Oh, it's so pretty.
Uh-huh.
So something that I want to get on that is on the same topic is your, well, let me see how I wrote it down. It's that your performances, like your freestyles, I'll call them performances because it's what they are. They are really well choreographed. that it's clear that exactly what you said of like, you'll add something that looks really visually appealing and then throw in the stuff that gets tricks. And you're really good at getting that balance. So like, how would you recommend and what, or not recommend, but what kind of is your process of making a cohesive routine if someone's trying to get, make something like that?
Mm-hmm. Like, I think music definitely plays a big part in that. Yeah, I mean, I like, cause some people say like, oh, like, I, like, oh, you're really good at performance, right? Like,
yeah.
Being a performer, but like, I don't really consider myself a true performer. Like, I think, I don't know, like John Higby or Tamanari Ishiguro or like people in AP, like they're like real performers, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm just like, this is just like how I yo-yo, you know? Uh-huh. Like in my own time, I'm just like feeling the music and, you know, trying to do something that is, I don't know, that just feels good, I guess.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, but I think you can see in other like high placing freestyles, just how they structure their routines to music and just studying that. Mm-hmm. And there's people that do it in different ways, like old Hiroyuki Suzuki freestyles versus how John Ando might approach a freestyle, or you know, I mean, looking in other divisions as well, like just studying other people and seeing how they like choreograph and progress their freestyle. I just did a lot of that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, personally, I'm just feeling it, feeling the music, like picking a good song and then just like trying to you know, find what will work best with my combos.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be most efficient for like packing in the most tricks for competition. Yeah.
Okay. So you choose a song, you find some song, and what is your first thing that you do? Do you just like think about kind of like the feeling of it, or do you take some trick that you've been doing and figure out where to put it? Like, what is that? Like, I don't know. I'm kind of asking, how are you inspired by music? Which is a crazy question.
Yeah.
How are you inspired by music?
Yeah. I guess like a long time ago, like maybe when I was making up more tricks, like I would have to change up what I was doing more because I would need to add in something new or like take something out or like refine something. So there would be more changes. So I might need to find different music to go with the tricks that I'm making up. But then a little later on, I think I had more of a set, you know, freestyle where I might just be doing small tweaks here and there. But yeah, I'm trying to think of how to better explain it. Yeah, I don't know. It's just interpreting the sound, you know? So if you hear a part that you can match your trick with, right? It's it just, I don't know, it looks good. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, I guess. But okay. Yeah, just be in response to whatever tricks that I need to do. And then like, yeah, mostly. And then also just picking what kind of feeling or, you know, yeah, I guess what kind of feeling I want. Sometimes I'll choose a slower song or, you know, something that is, you know, a little quieter just to, you know, focus on the feeling of it. And then other times I'm doing something that's like loud and aggressive and, you know, if I like really want to go off, right? Like yeah. There was freestyles where I was like picking much, much louder, like kind of weirder songs just because how I felt at the time. Like that's kind of like, okay, like I'm going to try to win, you know, like, and I can actually place and maybe win at this contest. But then other times I'm like, okay, like I'm just doing something that's, you know, it has a different feeling. It's more for fun. And yeah, you know, so kind of just depends.
So I think that kind of gets to something that I felt with your routines, which is when I watch kind of the average, if you take all yo-yo freestyles and you find the average one, it's kind of some guy who's doing tricks to get the tricks done. And they tend to have, there's not much texture to it. And it's kind of like the emotion that they're conveying in this routine is I'm really cool and good at yo-yoing. And so like, I feel like when I see your routines, cause you know, for the average freestyle, they'll do some big banger and the crowd will go, yeah, you hit the banger. And then they'll like miss something and the crowd goes, aw. But with you, there's freestyles where the crowd is just watching and they're silent and they're paying attention to what you're trying to get across to them. Because there tends to be like an actual emotion and a feeling and like a texture to the routine, which I don't often see in other freestyles. I think Charles Haycock, his that video where he pretends to be competing, that yeah. also kind of has that feeling of like there's emotion behind the tricks and it's clear that those tricks are there to convey some emotion that maybe was inspired by the song he was using or the song that you use. And so when you miss tricks, which occasionally happens, I feel like you don't get that same ah that a lot of people get because they don't care. They just are there watching what you're doing and kind of feeling those emotions that you've choreographed in.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm reading too deep into it, but I really feel like there's something unique about what when I see an Anthony freestyle.
Yeah, thanks. Sorry, I just had a thought that was going off of that. Sorry, I'm just trying to remember what I was going to say. I definitely agree about Charles having like, yeah, really awesome freestyles that just have a different feeling to them. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I forgot what I was going to say.
Oh, no!
No, I agree with what you were saying, though, yeah.
Oh, feel free to cut me off if you ever have something to say. I don't want to sit here ranting. And if it comes back to you, let me know. I definitely feel like there is just so... Oh, God, I don't know. Your freestyles are really fun to watch. And if anyone hasn't seen them, like, go and watch all of them. Because I remember there was one, I think, BLC. I was just watching you up there. And I was just felt like I was watching a god. It was so good.
I remember now. I
was yes.
Sometimes it's about like being aware of like the context of like where other people are in competition, like specifically talking about competition and like how to approach like being prepared for a competition. Like sometimes like in the past, I would go in knowing the other competitors and knowing that like, okay, I can place this time because I'm, you know, like aware of my tricks and like other people's tricks and stuff as well. So sometimes that energy going in, like, yeah, with the song, with, you know, what I want to bring to that competition, it would be because I have that awareness of like where, like I might place or like how well I might do. So sometimes that does play a part of it as well. And then other times, like, I know that, like, okay, like, maybe more recently, I'm probably not going to be placing as high, but I know that I can still, like, pick a song that, you know, other people probably wouldn't pick. It's not, like, the normal, you know, I don't know, just, like, the normal kind of, like, build up and then, like, oh, like, the beat dropped and I'm going to do, like, a horizontal, you know, or whatever, like, mm-hmm. a front style combo really fast. You know, I might do something kind of, like, weird or odd, but, yeah, so just having that awareness of like where you are compared to other people is sometimes important as well.
So that's super interesting. It's almost like that old saying of if you set your expectations low, then you always beat them. Like if you know kind of where you're going to place when you go into it, then if you know you're not necessarily going to win, you kind of are more free and have the confidence. I mean, if you know anywhere where you're going to place, then you'll have the confidence to do something stranger that might not always go that you might not otherwise have the confidence to do.
Yeah, I mean, like I don't want to say that people need to, you know, like limit themselves or think like, oh, like I'm definitely not going to do good, but I want to do good. Like definitely go like and try to do, you know, whatever you feel is you know, like whatever you want to do, right? But I definitely think that there are certain times when I've gone to contests, and maybe it's not even me, maybe it's like another yo-yoer, and everyone's like, yeah, like they're like on fire right now, like this season, like they're going in with like a lot of confidence, and they're probably gonna bring something that's like really top notch, you know? And you can feel that energy like when you're at the contest. So yeah, I don't know. I think just having that awareness is like some kind of factor, I guess.
Okay. That's great. So just kind of having an awareness of the other people, which again ties back to hang out with other yo-yoers, know who else is around. But that's great. And oh God, just to say it again, your freestyles are so good. So I think that's good for that. I wanted to move a little bit into, one thing I wanted to ask, do you have any Astrojacks with you or like around? Cause I would love to see, I remember one day you brought them to the kite shop and I saw it and I was like, oh my God, he's really good at Astrojacks.
Yeah.
Why did he start doing that?
Okay, let me try. Feel like I'm gonna try to move the camera really quick. You can see.
Okay.
It.
Okay.
Hold on.
We're getting a tour of Anthony's house.
Yeah, I was not prepared for this. Hold on.
Yeah, no, I'm fully putting you on the spot here.
Let me flip my camera. Oops. Or is that it? Okay. You can see this drawer of caribou stuff all up in here. Yeah, it's kind of messy. I think somewhere I have Astrojacks. Hold on. Might be this top drawer.
Let it go big?
Yeah, somewhere. This is like old, Austrian graveyard over here. Yeah. don't know why I gotta keep that, but, there's a hyper freehand, right?
Uh-huh.
Mongu freehand. Yeah, it's kind of messy, but hold on. I think there's Astrojacks somewhere in here. Oh, God. Like, weird yo-yo memorabilia.
Oh, my God.
Yan?
50 right? Tricks with an Astrojacks on a DVD.
Yeah, somewhere. Hold on.
This is like skill toy history.
Kendama stuff. They're just like buried in here in this drawer that's like
powder. Okay.
So I don't think I'm gonna be able to get these out.
To find them. That's all good. I would. I don't know. I might bug you for a video of it, posted as a bonus somewhere.
Yeah, they're just buried right now. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all good. That's all good. But. I don't know, for people watching, like, if you've seen Anthony's kendama-izing? I don't know what the word is. If you've seen Anthony do kendama, and you've been like, oh, wow, he does it so unique. Like, it's the same with the Astrojacks of, like, I don't know. I've never seen flowy Astrojacks the way that I've seen flowy Anthony Astrojacks. You got a kendama, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I pulled to the side before this, before I talk, just my Dune, and then I've been a little 5A recently, and then, like, kendama stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've just been doing the same tricks for a while, but I don't know, one of these days I'll, like, try to make up enough tricks for, like, another video or something, but...
Oh, that would be great.
Not there yet.
So this is actually interesting. How has your yo-yoing influenced your kendama?
I mean, just like all the string trick stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think when kendama was first kind of like entering the yo-yoing community in the earlier 2010s, like 2012 or 13 or something like that.
Yeah.
There was, yeah, like a lot of yo-yoers that were kind of doing like more like string-based stuff. Yeah. So it's kind of funny to see how nowadays there's definitely a lot more kendama players that use longer strings and they're doing a lot of the string stuff as well. So
long string tricks.
Yeah. But yeah, I think there's definitely a lot of overlap in the possibilities, I think.
Yeah.
Hiking is just too, it's usually too hard for me. I'd rather just like do yo-yo style, like string tricks. But
that's similar with your yo-yoing of like, you're not necessarily, like you do really hard scoring tricks, but you're not up there doing like some really intense behind the back horizontal combo like you might see Gentry do, it tends to just be like stuff that has a visual appeal to it.
I've seen.
So I also wanted to ask, do you have any background in dance?
No, but yeah, no, I don't.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. I just like a lot of the motion-based, like, tricks, or even in juggling, like, contact juggling and stuff, like, you know, use your body in different ways. So, but yeah, no background in dance. I'm probably pretty awkward, like, if I was trying to seriously do something, like dance-wise. But, yeah, I don't know. For yo-yoing and skill toys, it just makes sense for some reason to add more movement. So, yeah, I don't know.
That's good. I mean, I know, I feel like there must be some influence with Shoot Takata doing, because I know he's doing a lot of dancing and mixing yo-yoing and dancing. But just, yes, I love that, that movement approach to yo-yoing is something that doesn't really get talked about so much. And also with Kendama, like a lot of what you're doing is based on movements rather than like how hard can I make this trick.
Yeah, like for Kendama, that's personally what I like a little bit more. Just like I wish I saw some more of that, but I know there are definitely a lot of players that do focus on styles that are movement based, but like it's so impressive to see like a crazy like juggle like sequence, you know. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, like I'm personally just not interested in learning those. Again, so impressive to see. Just I just don't want to do that. And even seeing people's faces sometimes, like after they land like a really hard trick, they just like look like they have so much relief on their face, like, oh my god, like this took forever to land, like that was like so much pain to go through. And I'm like, nah, like, I'm not about that. Like I need to like kind of flow in a style, you know, instead of just one singular like thing. Like I want to be able to connect tricks and like find some kind of style behind that, you know.
Absolutely. And I think there's a texture to a routine that has that isn't just like da 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 da, like hit the hardest trick, hit it again, hit another one, hit a really hard one, but instead of like if you can take that and add a little bit more of this movement stuff, then it'll make those high points even higher. And you don't even have to do as hard of tricks because now you're doing like these cool movement-based things that are visually appealing. And then you can do something really hard. And now the people watching are going to go, wow, that looks so, there's contrast to what he was just doing. And then when you go back to the movement-based stuff, there's more contrast suddenly.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, like even with yo-yoing, mm-hmm. like I don't know. I feel like I saw some kids do like a 4.5 or like 5.0 hook recently. And I'm just like, this is crazy. It's so impressive. But like,
yeah.
I have no interest in doing that just because the concept is already, it's already there, you know, like,
yeah.
Unless it's new and it's like, again, like people can do what they want and it's super cool to see, but like, it's not, it's just like doing something that's difficult instead of trying to, I don't know. Yeah. I'm just more interested in style, to be honest, than just like a singular hard trick.
Yeah. Sort of what you're reminding me of, I forget what freestyle this is, but something that you've added into a lot of your freestyles is you will maybe be doing some really complicated string hook or string trick, you get into a 1.5 and you throw in this element.
Yeah.
Which is like so cool and such a like movement based circle-y thing that looks nothing like any other yo-yoer does.
No, I don't know. Like, I feel like a few people have maybe done that as well, but yeah, I don't know, man. It's like, some of those tricks are like the ones that I've had to be more conscious of, maybe like taking out or like thinking of a different way to do them because like nowadays they won't score as well.
Oh, yeah.
But Yeah.
That saddens me.
Yeah, right. So I don't know, but I think it's cool when there's different contests and outlets like Scales or you
Oh,
know
yeah.
whatever other one where the judging system's like a little different, so you can put in some other kinds of tricks like that. But
Definitely.
I don't know. There's
So
a
something, so I definitely want to come back to the contest, but something that's come up a few times is you talk about movement, which I think in there, like I kind of want to unpack that and see like what do you mean by movement when you talk about movement? Because I feel like I get what you're talking about, but I don't know if people who are maybe less familiar with your style, or maybe they're newer yo-yoers, if they quite understand what you mean by that.
Yeah. Oh, I saw my mom just commented. Hi, mom.
Oh
Thank
my
you.
God. Hi, Anthony's mom, Mrs. Ross.
yeah, so like I mean you can kind of say that anything is movement based, but like what I mean is instead of just thinking about a trick as like a step-by-step sequence that you're just executing, sometimes there's you know, it can just be like how you bind or like something that you're doing in between a trick or you know, some kind of just the way that the yo-yo or the string will move that is I don't know, just like a an interesting little factor in you know your combo or your style overall that can really make a difference. Like people can do the same trick and you know make it look different, right? Or like let me think of an example. Like 2011 Sebastian Brock Worlds. I think he got second. And he does a trick. I think it's called like I forget if it's rock and roll or like something. I don't know. Basically, it's like he gets into this mount and then he does like around the world essentially, and then into a trapeze. But like he just kind of like isolates his body like as it's doing around the world, and like he did that at Worlds. Like basically, just did around the world, you know, in his world style, right? But like he got applause and like people were like, "Yo, this is sick," right? So it's not. It's not necessarily about the trick and the specific steps, but like sometimes just a certain way of doing the trick and that movement can be more interesting, right? So,
What would maybe be your favorite like starting points of movements? Because I know that you typically kind of the things I think about with you are like circles, that there's a lot of circles in different locations and like how can you find those? There's one point where you do something like that, which like I forget where it was at the drop of some musical beat, and at the end of the day it's sort of like a seasick but with a it's circle-y, like it just has this nice curve to it of how it all comes together. I think that might have been like 2018 Nationals or something. Anyway, so what are kind of like the if you could put a word onto the movements that you most often use, something similar to like a circle or something like that, what I don't know if this makes sense, but what
yeah.
kind of would you describe those as, or what do you, what's the bucket that you draw from when you're grabbing those movements?
Oh, first, I just saw Coffin mentioned Jesse Christie. Yeah, he has some really cool elements where the string and like yeah, like the string and the yo-yo at the same time, and it yeah makes really cool patterns. Probably like juggling inspired maybe, but yeah, like he has really cool tricks. But yeah, I don't know if I really categorize my like overall like I don't know movement stuff and into like a category. It's just kind of just whatever comes out. And yeah, like especially if it's for competition, it just might be what flows better like from one trick to another, right? So I might have to find a way to connect, you know, some body trick into a tech trick. So there might be an element that just works better. But yeah, it's not really like I'm usually not. Oh, I have to make like a circle or like this specific shape or something like that. It kind of just happens, yeah.
Okay. So it's sort of they come out of necessity of you have these two tricks and how do we transition?
Yeah, or even bringing it back to music again. While I'm not thinking about dance at all, but like sometimes I'll be listening to music and then like it's a I don't know a certain like yeah sound or whatever, and like I might be flowing just kind of like not really thinking, and then like my like yo-yo will do something like that will match the music in some way, or like my movement will be informed by the sound. So then. Like, oh, like, that was kind of cool. And then I'll kind of be inspired by that and then try to build off of that, yeah.
Okay. So if you find something like that, do you go and, like, grab a camera and record it? Or do you just, like, memorize it? Or do you write it down? Or, like, what's your... Or do you do, like, 15 other tries and see how you can improve?
Yeah, sometimes I'll record something if I really like want to remember, but other times it's just like it just kind of happens, and then like I might come back to it, I might not, like it's not I don't know, it just depends like how I'm feeling at the time.
Okay.
Yeah, so
that definitely does work, of like whatever sticks in your memory is probably the best one. Generally whatever tricks you know are your tricks that you like to do. So that's awesome. So that kind of covers what your thoughts on motion. I notice a lot that like when I see you at DXL, you'll be kind of like sometimes you'll be talking with people, but sometimes when you're not, you'll be sitting there playing with an element and just like trying different things and trying new stuff with it. What's kind of happening in your head when you're doing that? Because you're usually like very, very focused on your yo-yoing. And that's something that like I've kind of tried to emulate, of like when I'm alone in my room, I'll just be like, all right, how can I focus? How can I find that same Anthony level of focus on this trick and explore different ways? Because I can kind of see your creative process developing. So what's going on in your head while you're doing that?
It's a good question, because like lately I definitely feel like I haven't been as like trick focused. I've just been kind of enjoying it, and then just like if I'm hanging out with people, I'm just absorbing that inspiration from just hanging out from with people. But yeah, like if I'm trying to make up something new. Once you learn, I don't know, however many different elements, like you can just keep just trying different variations. So like if you start with a trapeze, like normal trapeze, that's one thing. And then you can do like behind your arm on top, like under your wrist on the other side, you can do behind your back. Like there's so many different ways to trapeze, right? So like, you can kind of apply the same concept to other tricks. So if you're doing front style brain twister stuff, like can you do chopsticks? Can you do, add a slack at, so you just keep just trying different elements with each trick. Right. So, maybe I'll learn just one element or one movement from somebody else and then just start riffing on that idea. But yeah, like if you don't know what to do, just like start learning more elements, I guess. I usually don't like force it too much, but like that's just like sometimes I'll just like run through different elements like that, just like chopstick, slack, behind the wrist, right? So, and then you might come up with something new there. Yeah.
So definitely something I wanted to point out is a lot of times you'll hear people go like, oh, this is a variation on this trick. But, below a trick is the element of, like, a trapeze. And below that is, like, even the simpler motion of, like, putting your finger in a loop of string. I think I wrote an essay on that, which is on essays.illinkstoys.com. But which is classification of the elements of yo-yoing. Anyway, point being that you're not talking about a variation on, like, brain twister, the trick. You're talking about, how can you explore variations of the elements of Brain Twister? And then how can that develop bigger into something, maybe a totally different trick? Because then it's not really a variation of Brain Twister. It's a variation of a sub part of Brain Twister.
Yeah, like it doesn't have to be like super super rigid, you know, like in classification terms. I think sometimes it's like very blurry, like where like one trick stops or one like true variation of something, you know, stops and ends, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's just like if you just run through all the different like pretty different elements that you know that are like their own thing, there's so many, right? So sometimes people ask me like, oh, like I'm in this mount, like where do I go from here? And I'm like, well, you can go like on this string, or like you can go over here or over here. Yeah. Like there's like so many things you can do, but you know, not that all of them will work, but that's just one way that you can, or one place you can start when you don't know what to do. So
but I do like what you're saying of if you, and it does kind of solve the problem of if you don't know where to go, one of the best you can do is study different, find all the different trapezes that you can, like hit an undermount behind your back with your wrist backwards, and then with your wrist forwards, and then in front of you, and then with your wrist backwards, and then twist like even more. So, and if you have kind of a sort of an example of a trick that you do, you were showing me the other day, and I forget what it is, but it was this seasick. Yeah. And then you went like one more than is, so it's like you hit it here and then there and then inside and then there and then there, which I think is kind of a perfect example of what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. And like sometimes I'll just like throw out different like weird ideas like that. Like I don't think about whether or not it's going to be like easy or successful or whatever. Like sometimes it's just interesting just to try it and just be like, yeah. Oh, you know, this is going to be like horizontal behind the back chopsticks, blah, blah, blah. Like, and then yeah. Try and just see what happens, you know? And then like you'll accidentally discover that like there's something possible there. So yeah.
It ends up looking cool. But yeah, so just as a summary of like, not necessarily learn as many tricks as you can, but learn all the little variations of the elements to get, and then you won't have to learn tricks because you'll be able to make your own. So that's good. Great. So then something I want to talk about just for a sec is your, my dog keeps barking and I'm debating whether I should go and throw her in the house. I'm going to do it. And while I do that, I'll set up this question, which is, you used to be sponsored by a company called Recreational Revolution, which is my favorite yoga company, but they don't exist anymore. And could you tell me a little bit about how that sponsorship started? Yeah, get in the house. And what your experience of being on that team was like, and what Alex Kim was like. Jack, get in. Go in.
Yeah.
And the dogs are in the house. Okay. Hi, Mom.
Yeah, so Alex, who started Rec Rev, he was one of the youngsters who came to the kite shop in Redondo Beach back in the day. I think we're the same age, and I think around the time we were like 14 or 15, he wanted to start his own yo-yo company. And like, so mind you, this is pretty long time ago, so there wasn't that many like smaller independent yo-yo companies or like people making their own metal yo-yos. There was definitely, yeah, much, much, much less at the time. And at the time, he also, I think it was called Bio Industries. And he released this yo-yo called the Malleus, and it was released on Yo-Yo Nation, I believe. And then he did this yo-yo called the Gear, another one called the Ego or something. And then he changed the name to Rec Rev and started doing some other stuff with that. So I think sometime early on is when I started to be sponsored by him. And at first I didn't have to use his yo-yos per se. Like I could just use whatever I wanted, but then eventually started making some pretty good yo-yos. And I was just really into the ideas that he had. Mm-hmm. And and then there's other people that are sponsored by the team that kind of came and went, and some international players as well. But I was always cool with being sponsored just because I just needed my yo-yo and just like some sponsorship help here and there, maybe just to travel to contests and whatnot, which I got. But I think definitely over the years, there's some examples of just, you know, he just wasn't like the best at running a business or like taking care of his team and stuff. So yeah, there's definitely like some controversial like stuff in the yo-yoing world, just not being like business related things. So yeah, not I don't really want to go like too much into it, but yeah, like I think it went from RecRev to he changed the name again. He had like a prototype that was kind of cool, and then he changed the name another time, had another prototype, which was like a Delrin yo-yo with a metal cap. So like he had all these innovative ideas over the years, but just running a business was just not his thing. And yeah, eventually he just kind of like fizzled out of the yo-yo, sorry, the yo-yo world. And yeah, so I was fine with like what I got through the sponsorship, but it was just kind of unfortunate that there's just like certain like business related issues with other people. So that was disappointing. And then, yeah, when that kind of ended, I was like, oh, like, you know, could RecRev or whatever, like still go in some capacity? Like could I help to bring it back, or could somebody else help to bring it back? But then people like me and my, like other people that were on RecRev at the time, we're just like, nah, like, let's just, it's over. So, yeah, I think I competed with an Octave at Worlds 2015 in Tokyo. And that was like the last time that I used a RecRev yo-yo. But I think at that time I wasn't really like, it was kind of ending at that time. I think BAC of 2015 was kind of when it kind of was when a RecRev ended. So yeah.
That era was like the yo-yos that he made, and I myself almost like got $500 stolen because I tried to have some prototypes made with him, and then he spent like a year not doing it, and then I had to like bug him until he gave me $500 cash at BLC 1 year. So like there's those business practices, which like I knew that going into it that he was not the greatest, and yet I still did that. So like that is the kind of stuff that maybe he did. But putting all that aside, him as a yo-yo designer, he makes such like innovative designs that were like really ahead of their time, and I think feel very different from a lot of what was around then and what is around now. Like the Octave, I have one actually. And it just like feels very different. And I don't know, maybe it might be nostalgia that's like making me think that way, but also I really think that the TA-1S is the best Delrin that I've ever used. Like,
yeah, there is a lot of innovative designs. I think last DXL or maybe the one before that, like someone was talking about them, maybe it was you, I don't know, but yeah, like I brought up the fact that like I think he had a lot of firsts in yo-yo in terms of, like design wise as well, or maybe not a lot, but like a few at least. And yeah, I don't know, just really interesting stuff. So yeah, it was just a shame that the business stuff couldn't go better. Yeah. But yeah, definitely the ideas were really neat. And yeah.
Seriously, a brilliant designer. Which, if anyone listening has a TA-1S that they're looking to sell, by the way, I've been looking for one for years because I lost mine a long time ago and no one has them anymore. But just to throw that out there. So yeah, so you used the Octave for a long, long time. What drew you to that yo-yo? What did you like about it, if you can pinpoint it?
Yeah, I think I like changed yo-yos like throughout the years, or throughout like the time being on RecRev. Just as he came out with something new, it would be like a little bit better, or you know, it would allow for me to do like other tricks, I guess. And then when he when he when he landed on that design, I think it was I don't know. I just like really vibed with that yo-yo. And then it was kind of one of the last ones that he did that was like kind of competition oriented, like in that way. So that's kind of just why I stuck with it. So then when I went to Caribou, they were like, oh, like we definitely want to do a signature yo-yo for you. So we tried to look at the octave a little bit. And
oh, here, hold up the Dune and I'll hold up the octave just so people.
Yeah, there definitely are changes because we obviously didn't want to like copy it, but like we want to take like what parts made it feel kind of like that and then just make it like Caribou, right? Which was important, right? So yeah, like really pleased with how that came out. But I think like the little like bubbled like rim weight section and just being like a little kind of like a little heavier and rim weight was key for me.
I think I remember a long time ago you were like I forget if it was you or Yoshi, but one of you were talking about like you had been using the octave and there were like some changes that you wanted to make to it of like, oh, this would make it ideal. And then like he came out with the octave 2 and the octave 3 and none of them were the changes that you actually wanted.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of like made me laugh when you went to COIW and then the Dune comes out and I was like, oh my God, there it is.
Yeah. So it was, he did the octave 1. And I was like, this is perfect. Yeah. And I like take more because you only did like one run of it. And then he's like, oh, I'm going to do like an octave 2 different version, which is still a good yo-yo. And he did octave 3, like way different. I'm like, dude, just like make more of the ones.
And then he made the tiny version. I forget what that one is.
Like all these different ones. I'm like, dude, just make more of the ones.
Oh my God. But yeah, so those are great yo-yos. Get Rec Revs if you can find them. And if anybody listening can find a TA1S, please tell me. I will pay so much money for one.
Buy a Dune, please.
What was that? Oh yes. Sorry. Buy a Dune.
Sorry.
Because those are available and COIW is still a company and Anthony is sponsored by them. And they're a great company sponsoring great people. So one thing. I like to do this. Do you have anything that if you want to share with people of like your thoughts on yo-yoing, on yo-yoing theory or flow or any of that stuff?
Oh, sorry again. Like in general or?
Just in general. Because I've like, you know, I got a bunch of questions, but if there's anything that you came on wanting to share. Or thoughts that you think people should know.
Yeah, good question. I don't know, like how do you feel about where yo-yoing is right now, especially since a lot of people have just haven't been able to go to the contests and things like that. I feel I'm always glad that the yo-yo community is just always there for me. Like I don't have to always feel like I have to be a ton, like it's just part of my life now. But do you feel like it's changed a lot recently, or is it kind of just been like, to me it feels just like it's just kind of been there, it's just kind of stagnant right now just because of contest stuff hasn't been going on in the same way, you know? So there hasn't been like crazy, like I don't know, like innovation or crazy amount of like releases all the time, but there's still stuff happening. It's just kind of there right now.
So just generally, this is kind of a theory of a lot of stuff. Like I have a lot of thoughts on improv and magic and yo-yoing and juggling and all this. And one of the underlying things that I always come back to is things go in waves of like a freestyle. Like, you know what I was saying, if you do a hard trick and then you do a nice and simple trick. And so like having that texture and just generally, like even the stock market goes in waves. So that pattern, I think we're kind of going really high in this competition route and then COVID hit and it slows down, but that slowdown is never really a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's like the economic hit from COVID. It knocked out a bunch of smaller businesses that were maybe not so efficient. And these bigger ones, for better or for worse, then are able to do better when the economy ticks up. So it's the same thing with yo-yoing, of like, it knocks everyone down. It puts everyone on equal ground because now no one can compete. And out of that, you start to get a bunch of people sitting in their house thinking, I developed a lot of tricks during that time. And then you get people like Angelo and Betty and like all these people on TikTok who they're like, I can't go out and compete. So I'll just start doing content production. And they start doing it really well. And then yeah. they develop these TikTok followings that now are in the 3 millions. And like, whether you think that that looks good or bad or is stupid or is cool or is cringy, they are getting people interested in yo-yoing. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be people who see that and develop into the like great yo-yoers of tomorrow. An example of that in magic is Shin Lim learned how to do magic on YouTube mm-hmm. and went on to win FISM, which is the Olympics of magic. And yeah. now has a show in Las Vegas. So like, that's how, and I mean, we all know that yo-yoers started, the yo-yoers of our generation started on YouTube. It's going to be TikTok in the future. So I think it's a little different. And I'm also seeing more of these lives pop up of people having conversations and having virtual meetups around yo-yoing, which I think gives people a better chance to have like virtual conversations about yo-yoing. But that's kind of my little rant on the current state of yo-yoing.
Yeah, those are great points, actually. I think that like really sums it up. TikTok has been, I think, really important for a handful of notable players that have been promoting yo-yoing through TikTok. Has been really interesting to see. And like, I keep hearing about people that are like, oh yeah, like I ran into like some random person and they know about like the DNA bind or whatever. And I'm yeah. like, oh, that's so crazy. But yeah, I think that's, I don't know, very, very of the now, like it makes sense. And yeah, like just hanging out and having these talks online is definitely, you know, again, like of the times. So yeah, that does make sense. And yeah, I think even before COVID, yo-yoing just kind of had like little ups and downs. And I know business wise that happens for a lot of the companies as well. Like they'll have a few good years and then like maybe some like okay years and then they'll come back again. But yeah, so yeah, for me, like I know some people have definitely made up a lot more tricks and this time has been like really great for them to innovate more. For me, I've just been kind of chilling and like focusing on like other life stuff. But again, like yo-yoing in the community is always there. So it's not that I'm like stopping yo-yoing or anything like that, but like it's just, you know, it's just kind of part of my life. So you know, I can go back and like do more stuff later if I want, or, you know, kind of go in and out as I need to. So
I'm wondering on the, as things start to crank back up, which they will, we all thought this year, I'm not the first person to say that, but as they do, what do you think the effects of all this will have? Do you think that maybe, I mean, my hope is that yo-yoing needs to become more performative and have more of this texture that we've kind of been talking about. Do you think that maybe this is a chance to rebuild the competition scene in a way that is a little bit less rewarding to the people who just do hard trick, hard trick, hard trick, hard trick?
I mean, I really don't have like many, I don't really have issues with the main judging system, to be honest. I think, I don't know, like maybe but
I'm projecting because I do.
Yeah, I don't know, like it's okay, like the differences are like I haven't, like when's the last time someone's won and then people have been like nah, like that person shouldn't, I don't know, like it really isn't that big of a deal to me. Uh-huh. And like I think having alternative contests like Scales or 44 Clash or DXL Battle, or, you know, just like having different kinds of contests, like anyone can do those. Like, so we're not limited by one judging system. Like that's just the main contest scene and the main like organization that runs them. Right. But, yeah. like anyone else could do their own thing, like at any time. So like we're not limited. Right. So, and competition isn't the only, like, that's what's cool about yo-yoing is that you don't have to be a competitor to be like part of the community or, you know, respected in any way. Right. So it's just one outlet, you know? So,
yeah. Absolutely. So then do you think this would be a chance for those other things to maybe emerge, or just generally what changes do you think might come to freestyles that are in the more traditional contests?
Yeah. I know for the US, like, I think they're approaching regionals a little bit different, like with the amount of regionals and like how they see to nationals. But like besides that, I don't really know. I don't think people will be approaching freestyles that differently, to be honest. I feel like it's going to be pretty similar. And like, as always, you can make it to finals and then like do like whatever, like, it, you know, so it, yeah, like, I don't think there'll be that. I mean, like, maybe because of things like scales, like, there might be more alternative or different chances or to do alternative contests, but you know, I don't think you necessarily need to change like the main contest scene, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Well then, I got two little. So one of here. I'll just ask. One is, when you are getting ready for an event, how do you practice?
Yeah, I'm someone who tries to plan like further out in advance and then just practices like little bits at a time, leading up to the event. I like to do like hours and hours at a time of practice. That's like just too much, too frustrating. Like, I get all sweaty. Like, no, it's like it's not good. I know some people are like that, where they can just practice like hours and hours every day, but I just do like little bits like for a longer period, and that works better for me. And I just try to refine the freestyle as much as I can to where I can land everything with like a really high percentage, like, I don't know, like 90 something percent usually. So that's pretty much it. I usually don't throw in things that are like too risky or whatnot, but or like just where I can't land them, you know. I think the like filmed freestyles and like those online contests definitely have a different dynamic, where you can try as much as you want to film a perfect freestyle. But then I think it's interesting because some of those players probably wouldn't be able to land all their tricks like first try at like in person. So you're going to get different players winning, right? But I don't know. I think that's cool. Just to have like different parameters, right? So yeah.
It's that thing we're talking about limits and creativity. Like, with different limits comes different outcomes. Plus, like, you don't have a full stage. There's another little change. Like, you just have your spot.
Yeah.
The audience dynamic is different. That you can't go, yeah, give it up, like, after a hard trick.
Yeah, like the audience, the stage, the lights. Like, if you do like a head trick and there's like a light shining in your face or something, you can't control that. It's just like how the place is, you know. So yeah, or like if you're outdoors and it's windy and like there's, I think the year that I won BAC, it was kind of windy and I was practicing like to the side of the stage and I took out a slack trick or something and like made it simpler just so I can land it better. So yeah, like sometimes I'll be conscious of that when it's a in-person contest, you know?
Yeah. The effects of the environment.
Yeah.
Sort of similar to what you're saying about know the people that are around you, but also know the event space that you're going to be in. Conclusion, that's the word I'm looking for. I like to have guests teach a trick, something that that viewers can come and watch. So if you are on the podcast, check out ILINX_TOYS, subscribe, and then go check out this episode to see this. But do you have any tricks to show off? So we learned one Rock the Baby variation, and then also a really cool slack into like a tower. And all those are on the Illink's Instagram page. So that those are great. And the concept of taking the basic tricks, changing the movements that you use, and then finding new tricks within that came up from that. So I think those are some good little takeaways there. And now we get to see Anthony do just amazing work.
Chilling. Just jamming here.
Wow. So the conclusion is usually a few things. One, it's plugs, which CLYW Dune, go buy it, and also other CLYWs, and join their Discord.
Please
be promoting that a lot. Do you have any other plugs? Maybe things coming out?
What's going on? I think on Discord, I think Steve might have shared like a few upcoming releases. So definitely stay tuned for new Caribou stuff coming out. I know there's like definitely a few different new designs. That's new. I don't really have much else to plug right now. I was thinking about doing the next scales contest, but I'm not 100% sure yet. So,
okay.
I don't know.
There's always your Instagram page.
Yeah.
And your design page.
This Instagram page. My design page. I haven't really posted there in a while. I'm trying to work on a different like design related project right now that I might be sharing soon. I'll post about that when that's ready. And that's pretty much it.
Excellent. The next thing is just like a takeaway point. We've been talking for an hour and 40 minutes. So how, if people have been listening, maybe they haven't like heard everything or they've just heard so much. If there was one point that you wanted to make sure that they remembered forever that we talked about, what would that be for you? And I'll do one as well.
Enjoy yo-yoing like the way that you want to enjoy it, you know, like there's not one way to approach yo-yoing as a whole, so you know, just do what you want to do.
follow your heart. Coming from one of the most unique yo-yoers, like, I definitely think people can take that and run with it. One sort of smaller technical point that I wanted to use as mine was that concept of, like, take elements and change those, because trick variations are one thing, but every time I see your tricks, like, the more I think about your tricks, the more I'm seeing, like, you're clearly taking some element and tweaking it a little bit and seeing, like, how can I swing backwards? Like, where's another place that I can take the simplest element of a yo-yo swinging, doing a pendulum, and how can I put that in a different location? So find the little elements and alter those and explore all the ways that you can do those, because there's lots. One of the questions is actually the good and the bad in the current state of yo-yoing. I think we hit a lot of those points already, but if you had anything of like something that you love or something that you don't love as much currently in yo-yoing.
I think we kind of did hit on that already. I just appreciate that yo-yoing is just, again, just part of my life and it's just always there. And, more than just like yo-yoing itself, it's just about the people that I know and like the friends that I've had for years and years, so that's always, you know, really cool. And I don't really have anything like negative right now. I'm not that critical, to be honest. When it comes to yo-yoing stuff, it's just, it's meant to be fun, so I don't really have any issues, so
that is good. We love the positivity. Then the last thing is, the concept of an endless chain of podcasts where every guest recommends one person that they think would benefit from like this kind of theory discussion of yo-yoing, not solely competition focused, someone who has ideas on that you think people would want to hear from, and maybe they would want to share stuff. And the only limitation is you have to know them personally and be able to put me in touch with them. Is there anyone that you think would be good for this show as a guest?
I don't know. Maybe Brian Figueroa, since you just won Trick Innovator. Yeah,
absolutely. I've actually been like thinking about reaching out to him. So that would be awesome.
And he's done so many unknown collabs like the past couple of years. It's really crazy. So
yeah,
I think he might. Maybe
he is behind Unknown, right?
He does what?
He's the person behind Unknown, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But cool.
So many collabs. It's pretty amazing. So cool to talk to. I don't also, know.
Excellent four-A player.
Yeah.
Like, easily one of the best. So that's perfect. Then, with that, this is a weird request. Can you put your head slightly high in frame, and I'll put mine low, and just pose for the cover of this? And we can just sit here for a second. Yay! Now I can go in and grab a screenshot. And that is all that's the show. And thank you so much, Anthony, for stopping by. Like, this means so much to me to have you on this. Like, you were one of the dream guests of when I started doing this as a project, so I'm so happy to have gotten you. And to anyone listening on the live, please subscribe to the podcast and rate it and add a comment about it in Apple Podcasts. It's called Kill Your Yo-Yo, and you can find it anywhere. But yeah, any last words to add?
That thank you for having me. And I'll probably see you at DXL. So
absolutely. Yeah.
Later.
Beautiful. Talk to you later. And thank you so much for stopping by. Bye, everybody.